This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a Friday, baby, so let's get the vibes going. Let's have that energy today. I feel good. How about you, Lopez?
I'm feeling funky.
Funky Friday?
I'm feeling funky.
I don't know, Figgy, can you oblige?
I'm feeling funky today.
I like it. I like the feel. I'm not going to lie,
though. Make it funky.
Yeah.
So there's two things that happen in that handoff.
Little dazz band, little cool in the game.
Oh, okay. Requests? I didn't know we could have requests to the DJ. That's one of the things the DJs hate the
You're the request
most.
To the DJ
hey,
guy?
Hey, you got any
the
dazz
worst.
Band?
He's probably the one up here. He's up here bumping the DJ booth. Like, hey, can you play?
Now, I did remember Lopez at his daughter's wedding talking to the DJ.
Oh, man.
Hey, can you play this song?
Did I really?
He was up there a couple times,
I was probably
man.
Drunk.
Hey, can you
do it?
Can you play this song for me?
There's a good chance I was drunk.
That'll do it.
I was there.
We have firsthand accounting from Sean Pendergast. When Sean said, hey, man, you know, next time you'll hear from these fellas, they'll be in West Palm Beach. I was like, one, I got excited because I've been excited for this trip for them and just spring training in general. Mm-hmm. But also, I got a little sad. We're not going to see them for a week, man.
Yeah, man. My heart always sinks a little bit when I don't see that white GMC truck in that spot.
That's right. And what's the license plate that you see on there?
I better not do
that. Oh, okay. But no. Super excited for those fellas.
I got his phone number.
Yeah, well, you know, go ahead and give that to the people. I'm sure Sean will be fine with that. No, man, exciting to be on a Friday. There's some fun stuff happening on this show, in fact, getting ready for the final stretch or the last stretch of the last 27 games of the NBA season and the Rockets season in particular, at least when it comes to the regular season, because I have a full anticipation that they'll be playing some playoff basketball. So you have that. This weekend is going to be a fun weekend because there's a few things. Area 45 having their anniversary party at a Home Run Dugout tomorrow. Tomorrow as well, just getting spring training games going, Grapefruit League games going, starting with a split squad game. I think we have what? Cougars playing.
Cougs are playing.
Iowa State tomorrow. Yeah. That's going to be a college game day situation at Fertitta Center. We'll talk to Eddie Nunez, who is the athletic director of the University of Houston, later today, about 1:10 rather. We'll talk to him about that. We got the Texas Derby between Houston Dynamo and FC Dallas.
You said it very British.
Hey, man, soccer guy. Soccer guy. Got to do it right. I'm not going to.
Figgy, that's your next level. You got to say Derby. It's not Derby, it's Darby.
That's Darby. Right. So that we'll talk to Ben Olsen, who is the manager of Dynamo. So we'll get that later on. And, I mean, we'll just have a lot of fun. It is a Friday. So appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Get involved on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610.
The Texas Hammer!
Yeah! It feels even stronger on a Friday. It feels like all right, I'm not going to do that. Anyways, let's get into this topic. I've been talked about a whole bunch too much already. But, these Texans, man, like offseason's here. We got the underwear Olympics coming next week, more commonly referred to as the NFL Scouting Combine. And, you know, we're gearing up for what this season looks like. I think there's a lot of optimism, especially in this room, but generally around this team. You got a new offensive coordinator who is highly regarded around the league in Nick Haley. There's a lot of hope that is there for C.J. Stroud and the entirety of the offense to, you know, be buoyed. We know this defense is really good. What can they then do? Sometimes we can take things for granted. And I thought you brought a really interesting question to the table. Can you tell the people what that is?
Yeah, because we've been pretty much bundles of sunshine and rainbows in terms of optimism, you know, with all the things that the Texans already have done this offseason and maybe still could do and certainly, you know, going on down the line all the way into the next season. But Dan Graziano, NFL insider for ESPN.
That's right.
He was asked about a few teams where he sees regression, where he sees there could be regression. Lo and behold, the Houston Texans were one of the teams that he mentioned.
Really?
Well, I'll give you the direct quote.
All right, Dan.
From Dan Graziano.
Dan, you're about to be on the persona non grata list.
But it made me wonder, is there anywhere if you have to like step back and say, okay, maybe not this, maybe not that, where you might see regression with the Texans? This is what he said. He said three things. The offensive coordinator change felt like a panic move that I found alarming.
Really?
Yes, that's number one.
That's one of those 30,000-foot views versus being on the ground. Because if you're on the ground here, I mean, hell, I think DJ Bienemy obviously wrote the really interesting piece about Bobby Slowick and, you know, kind of the downfall there with his tenure. And I think he was recently talking to Big Sarge, Locked On Texans. And one of the things he was saying is, like, I don't know that he specifically had, like, Bobby backers in that locker room by the end of it. Like, maybe some people that had been fine with him remaining, but by and large, it was people who were just either not quite sold or were out on Bobby at that point.
And we know that, but from the outside looking in, and hell, even from the inside, there might be some questions about the play calling and all that stuff, first time, you know, et cetera, because that's one thing he said. Might have been a panic move with the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I don't think anybody on the ground here would agree with that.
Second thing he said, they probably can, talking about the Texans, they probably cannot count on the same kind of year from Joe Mixon.
That is an interesting proposition, and that's one that you seem to maybe not fully agree with, but at least want to guard against.
Yes, you want to be able to bring in whether it's...
No, not the Royal, you Lopez, because you're very much on the, hey, you need another running back.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, I want to make sure to give you your credit.
Like an Aaron Jones or a drafted running back that is a little more proven and higher. No, I do lean more that way on this one. The third thing he said I found very interesting, because I think it's true, you know. He said... defensive team excellence year to year is tough to sustain.
This is the one that I was going to come with.
This is very tough to sustain, he said, and the defense carried them for much of the season. So unless their offensive line and receiver core get much better, this team, quote, could fade a little. Based largely on those three things, but I the third one, like you, it is hard for a team 1 year to the next, to sustain that level of defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those kind of, you know, there's certain truisms or tenets that we kind of hold on to as our shortcuts in various sports or just in life. There's some things that you're like, hey, generally this is true. And in order to kind of cut out of having to evaluate all the little things, we could kind of use this. And one of those things that I believe in is that defense year to year fluctuates quite a bit. Like it's, I mean, obviously there's some instances where defense can hold steady, but more often than not, you're, you know, that notion that, hey, you're going to have an incredible defense year to year is not one that you can necessarily bank on. And to that end, one of the things that you have to look at with this team in particular, where I do think there's a possibility for aggression, I do feel good about it just generally, but I do think there's a possibility. How about interceptions, right? Interceptions is one of those things where, especially turnovers just in general, can be a little up and down. And this was a team that turned the ball over quite a bit. We were excited about the opportunity for them to turn the football over. And to be fair, it's not like they were doing an outsized amount of it. They were 16th in the league with 12 interceptions. But are we
certain? For a while, they were higher than that.
Yes. Yeah. Right. It slowed a little bit at some points. It came, obviously, as they do in bunches.
Yeah.
But, and I know that you have guys with great ball skills when you talk about Kalen Bullock seems to be a great ball hog. Obviously, Derek Stingley Jr. got the hands of a wide receiver, right? Mm-hmm. And Kamari Lassiter added his own. We're not going to pretend like he was not very solid with what he did. However, even with that being said, right, I don't know that you can guarantee that you're going to be able to turn the ball over in exactly the same way in a year. So there's a possibility of regression there, I think, for certain, always, just with any team, specifically with this one, But I do like the fact that you've got guys who have like the talent to be able to do that. I just don't know how many 5-interception games can you bank on. You know what I mean?
Right, right. No, I think that
or 5 turnover games.
5 turnover games. Yeah, I think that's a solid.
No, it was 5 interceptions. That was the Lions game, right? Where Jared Goff threw 5 and things.
No, that's right. That's right. No, I think defensively, and you hit on the point that I was gonna kind of focus in on. There are some great defenses that just don't turn the ball over. Now, turnovers are almost viral. You know, they like from one year to the next, a team just gets turnovers.
I don't know why that framing of it made me start thinking that. Like, is there a turnover vaccine? Like,
yeah,
is there,
yeah.
And why exactly would Aaron Rodgers never get it?
Hey,
you know what I mean?
The flu changes one year to the next. So do turnovers.
It sure does.
You know, so turnovers, like some teams just start getting turnovers and maybe not even are that good of a defense. But they look it because they're getting a lot of turnovers. Some very good defenses don't get a lot of turnovers, and they maybe are more susceptible to longer drives, et cetera. So that's one thing that I focused in on. And then the main thing that I talked about that I focused on when it came to the running back, as you talked about, you know, until this past season, we were all like, hey, running backs, you know, they hit a wall. Boy, they hit a wall, and you can't give that. And we didn't necessarily agree with it. But we did see that teams were just avoiding running backs because once they get to 28, 29, 30, it just ends. Well, Joe Mixon is going to be 29 next year. And so I'm not saying it's going to end. What I am saying is until this past season, that was a running back that you wanted to fortify. That was a running back that you wanted to back up with another really good running back, you know? So maybe that's something where I'm not going to say he's on to something, but I get what he's saying.
No, and it is absolutely worth the consideration. It's one of those things that you really and truly hope that within the brain trust of Nick Caley, obviously closer to this as the offensive coordinator, D'Amico Ryans as the man in charge as the head coach, and of course, Nick Caserio as the person who handles the personnel, that they will all come to some level of understanding and agreement that the running back core is more solid. Mm-hmm. I understand that they pay Joe Mixon. They trust Joe Mixon. He has a level of talent that dictates that if you have the opportunity to give him the football as much as possible, you can do that. But I feel like you should learn from the 5 games that he missed early on, relatively early on in the season, making sure that you have something that works in his stead or something that could be a curveball, an off-speed pitch of sorts. For him, something else to go to at times if he needs a spell for a drive, something that you feel confident is not just going to be fine, mm-hmm. but something that has the possibility of doing great. Because as you're right, like we had a resurgent year for running back, especially the ones who were veterans in that second deal or third deal, even in some instances. When you talk about Henry, you talk about not Jones necessarily, but Jacobs mm-hmm. and some of these other guys, and of course Joe Mixon falls right in line there. And Saquon Barkley is obviously one of those. I probably should have said that one. But, yeah, man, you can't assume that necessarily that's going to be exactly the case, especially because he had a Superman cape on all last year.
He sure did.
I guess the one thing that made it so that I was not as hasty to consider that as regression is mm-hmm. he was doing all that with, let's objectively, bad offensive line play.
Yeah, but that gets him hit more. That gets him hit more. And he was hit more. The last 5 seasons that he's had at least 14, that he's played in at least 14 games, he's had 292, 278, 210, 257, and 245 carries. That's a lot of wear. That is a lot of wear. 278, 292, 210, 257, 245. That's a lot, and he's going to be 29.
Yeah, he's carried it very well. Yeah. But, yeah, I think that it is a fair point to have some level of concern for that. Are there any other places? Because, I mean, someone, and by the way, on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, somebody said from the 713, we lost the Lions game. Yes, I understand that. Mm-hmm. But the idea that you have a defense that's capable of turning the ball over to that degree, I think, is the point that I was ultimately making. That was, a really well-played game, at mm-hmm. least in that degree. And you go, can you reasonably expect? And of course, I understand that's the high water mark. It's not fair to necessarily use the extremes in your cases.
Yeah.
But can you expect those types of that type of situation to continue through? But it feels like, defense in general, we're talking about the possibility of regression. Is there anybody individually that you look at as possibly regressing?
Yes.
Even that, like offensively, I'm like, I don't know how much more you regress. We talked about the running game. I'm like, is there any other place there? But are there any individuals that you go, possibility of regression?
Well, I think inside linebacker, it's not one, it's two. They just keep hanging on with Neville Hewitt as the backup. You know, he's been around a long time. The starter, Azeez Al-Shaair, as much as we love him, as much as he's been sort of a heartbeat of this team, he didn't play well at the end of the year, especially in coverage. You know, he got exposed. They're inside linebackers. Now, I know you've got Christian Harris and Toto has been playing, et cetera, but
I thought Toto was the one that you would bring up here. Like, obviously, he had made
but he's
great
made
strides.
Progress the last 2 years, 2 years in a row.
Sure.
Yeah, and he's kind
development
of,
isn't linear, though. And like,
no, I get it.
That's the one thing I was wondering about is if that would come up for you.
Al-Shaair, to me, love that dude. I really do. I think he's just a stud.
How could you not?
Yeah, how could you not? But if we're being honest, you know, he got exposed, especially in pass coverage, and Christian Harris wasn't playing, which for whatever reason, maybe that'll change. Neville Hewitt's your backup. Those two guys right there, I feel like you need to at least start looking. You know, you need to at least start looking at some big-time replacement there if you don't have them already.
That's interesting. I don't know how much I'm... Well, I mean, it's fair. It is fair to wonder if, like, teams are going to even be able to kind of attack them at a higher level. I know that tackling was one of those things that... I mean, it kind of regressed during the course of that season. Mm-hmm. If you look at, I think NFL.com put together like tackling grades for all the teams in the NFL, and Houston was already at 21 as a team that was trying to improve that. I don't think that like you see more regression in that way. So yeah, I don't know how much I am quite worried about the interior, but I hear what you're saying there. And of course, one of the things that you hope is that just that group as a whole, I understand you were talking individuals, but the group as a whole gets better by just, hey, how about having Christian Harris for a majority of the season as opposed to for a blip in the middle of it?
Yeah.
You know, like that would probably
be
helpful. If there's individuals that regress, I mean, I think I'm beyond the point of, because I was thinking like in talking about the interceptions, you come back to like, hey, some of the raw, like, you know, speed and those types of things with the likes of like Kamari Lassiter. But I'm like, he seems to have held himself, handled himself well and garnered a level of respect around this league where I don't see regression there. I do wonder, like, in that kind of that safety spot or not safety, like kind of that nickel spot that they have had. Jalen Petrie had a really good season there. And I do wonder if like teams find a way to make it more difficult on him in that spot. But that's something that remains to be seen. And I think that that's defensive backcourt needs a level of investment anyways to where I think some of the potential for regression can be covered by just having more depth that you can throw at different situations. And yes, say safety. Safety is one of the things that people
talk
about.
Safety for sure. I feel that's almost a given.
Yeah. Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I still feel good about like where you're at. Like regression obviously might pop up in certain places, but I think that you're probably well situated to be able to counteract some of those things. And that's what Nick Caserio's job is to make sure that you're best prepared to counteract whatever that is and like have strengths. But it feels like your pass rush is still going to be very strong.
Yes.
At the very least, even if you don't have interception numbers at a high level, you still have great defensive backs, legitimately great defensive backs that are going to make it very tough when you pair that back with the front. And so defensively, I think it's great, and it feels like you can't really go very much down when it comes to the offense of what you saw this past season with C.J. Stroud running for his life. If you get anything, you know, anything a little bit better, you're probably in a really good spot as a team. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going on a Friday. Coming up next, spring training around the corner. The fellas headed out to West Palm Beach next week. What are your spring training predictions? Because there was one that came down from Yardbarker that I thought was very interesting and I want to dive into. So 713-572-4610, what are your predictions for Astros spring training as it gets starting in earnest this weekend? We'll discuss that next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He has hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Atatula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio.
Intro reminds me, I don't think I have anything like baseball or basketball related to annoy you with in the same way that I did the scorigami. I'll have to work on that. Yeah.
Oh, we can.
I thought you do with baseball. What's those numbers? Or you always
do? Oh, well, I get DVOA and all that stuff. It doesn't bother me, but he goes overboard.
Do I?
Yeah.
Do I, though?
There's one stat that drives me nuts.
It's not EPA.
C war, something.
Just wars?
No. War I like.
Like a baseball stat?
Yeah, I'll come.
I was
come
like,
up
don't let
it.
Me get to listing on base, but like, you Bob Ip.
Yeah.
FIP.
Yeah, Reggie get to go on. According to the PPR stats.
Yeah. So, well, that I get that too. There's something we need. I'll find it.
Very good. I'll excellent.
This PPR stat. It's not the greatest.
Looking forward to that. 713-572-4610 is the Jim Allen, the Texas Hammer text line. What are your predictions for West Palm Beach for spring training as the fellas? It is Sean, it is Seth, it is Adam Spillane all headed out to West Palm Beach. They will touch down on Sunday and spend the entirety of next week out there giving you fantastic coverage of spring baseball, courtesy of Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm super excited for them to be out there. And from the 832, someone asked, confession, guys, are y'all low-key hating that it's not y'all in West Palm Beach, especially with the weather being pretty manageable?
I answered him.
I'm low key hating. I mean, I don't want to say hating, but I'm a little jealous.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not hating. I'm just a little jealous. I would want to go with them. I wouldn't want to go instead of them. If that makes sense.
Yeah. If I could tag along, I'd be fine.
There it is.
But I'm a little jealous with the weather because this weather been cold, man.
It's been ridiculous. I'm not. I mean, I've done my time. I've been to spring training. It's cool and all that. It's. I'd like to go for maybe. They actually are going for the perfect amount of time, 1 week. Because it used to be you'd have to go 2-3 weeks, and it just gets old quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same stuff every day. All that stuff. But yeah, no, I'm happy for them.
Yeah, and they've got a great year to also go out there because like this early portion, there's going to be a lot to try and feel out. Mm-hmm. Just one obvious. How is Jose Altuve grabbing on to that left field spot?
He's liking it on social media.
Yeah, he's really leaning.
What'd he do on social media?
You said on Instagram he posted an image of him fielding in the outfield.
Yeah, he's like got one leg up, almost like he's semi half diving, like a long run for a fly ball, you know. And he's catching the ball, and he posted
looking like Willie Mays.
He posted that picture on Instagram, and then on Twitter. I guess there was a video of him walking to another field or something. And he goes, here comes the outfield.
Yeah, he comes outfield and it's him. It's Ben Gamble. It's Chaz McCormick. I believe it's Jake Myers as well.
Leaning in.
Jose in the outfield. Yeah.
He's like, I am one of these outfielders.
Jose the outfielder.
Yeah. So what does that look like? What do some of the young guys look like? Because Joe Espada has made it abundantly clear that we're going to see a lot of young guys going early in these first few games. But yeah, what are the predictions? What are the things that you think is going to happen? Because Yard Barker put together an interesting kind of list of predictions for teams in the AL West and what they will have transpire in their spring training situations. And of course, for your Houston Astros, it is this. It goes as following. Zach DiCenzo and Jacob Melton will earn starting jobs. The write-up goes as follows.
Out of spring.
The Astros are a team in transition with several holes in the roster, and outfield in particular has to be an area of concern. Houston's depth chart lists Mauricio Dubon, Jake Myers, Chaz McCormick as a starting outfield. None of those are enticing options. While Altuve may get a chance to the left, as we've talked about, top prospects Zach DiCenzo, Jacob Melton are knocking on the door. Both players should get a long look in spring training and could see starting roles with a strong showing.
I'm going to split that a little bit. because Zach DeCenzo, I agree with. If you followed anything, and we're gonna be hearing from the boys. Joe Espada has talked about him. I feel like they want, that doesn't mean he will, but it certainly gives them an advantage. They want DeCenzo to win a starting spot. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be really helpful if you have him playing at a level that you feel comfortable with him. And I mean, I'll ask you this way. Of the guys who had to come up and play probably ahead of schedule last year, is he the one that you feel like was best equipped and mm-hmm. probably had the closest way to go to actually maintain a spot?
Yeah. Yeah, I think absolutely he would. And, you know, the main thing you want as a major league, you know, ready ball player is just an opportunity. You can't get a better opportunity than what he's... There is doubt. You know, there is serious doubt in the outfield. You know, including Altuve, as much as he's embracing it and all that stuff, we don't know. He hadn't played a single game yet. And so there are at least two spaces out there where he can look at and go, yeah, I've got my chance. And I think he could maybe embrace it.
Now, so this is the situation that you have here, right? Like if this this prediction comes through and you have DeCenzo and Jacob Melton able to grab these spots, I almost kind of feel bad about it. Mm-hmm. You tell me if I'm doing too much mental gymnastics here, because sometimes it's a possibility. Doesn't that mean that, one, the Altuve and left field experiment failed, and then, two, that you probably could not get the Chaz McCormick back to come
Both.
Back around?
Those are the two spots.
Like, I feel like that's what that would have to mean.
Yeah.
And that's probably more terrifying than, hey, these guys came up and played fairly well.
Yeah, well, more so with...
Because we're talking starting positions, not just, hey, there are guys on the roster that we feel very comfortable playing in these spaces.
I think more so with Altuve, because then that changes the entire... Because he's not coming out of the lineup.
No.
So that means he's back at second base.
Right.
So that would be a little bit...
Although, more, to be fair, do you really have any answers at second base? Because you brought in Guillorme, you brought Brendan Rodgers, who, by the way, is officially now on the team. In mm-hmm. fact, you see him in his Astros garb. I think you'll be able to see pictures of him on social media out there today. But, yeah, you don't really have great answers. Mauricio Dubon, we were talking to Spo a couple days ago, and he seems very set on the idea that Dubon is probably your most likely option at this point to carry a majority of the starts at second, which, I mean, fine, but is not inspiring.
Mm-hmm. No, I think, you know, if Altuve doesn't work out, if it just becomes, good Lord, you know, one of those things... Good Lord.
Oh, man. I'm a little nervous now.
It changes your dynamic at left field, at second base. Maybe affects DH a little bit, you know, because, you know, who knows? You know, Dubon was going to, at least according to Adam Spillane, is going to be penciled in to play the most games early on at second base. So all of a sudden, he becomes the utility, occasional DH, whatever it may be. I mean, that's three spots. That's three spots that Altuve not working out of left field could affect.
Jacob Melton is an interesting one. I'm very intrigued to see what he looks like, and I don't know if this update from Joe Espada will change any of this, but I mean, I would be trying to be locked as much as I possibly can on some of these early games, as, you know, maybe we see some Jacob Melton, but I don't know how early he'll get into it because of this update from Joe Espada.
Jacob actually has been, you know, for the last 2 days, kind of a mild little soreness on his lower half, like his back. So we want to make sure that we get him 100% before we send him out there on the field. You know, he's moving around, he's doing some stuff in the weight room, but, you know, we don't want him just to go out there and start going, you know, 100%. We just want to make sure that we can get the back 100% before we send him on games and stuff.
Well, that's awful. That tells me he's certainly not going to start the year. I know it's a long sprain.
Wow, you're going that far.
No, if it takes him a week, you know, and he's a week behind, hell, if it takes him longer, he's really messed up. But a week behind in a competition like that, you can catch up. It just makes it very, very difficult. The other thing about DeCenzo that, and I came across this last week, and it was one of those kind of where you go, huh, apparently he just crushed it in Puerto Rico. He went, you know, after the season, he went and played ball in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, that was, Joe Spot was talking really glowingly.
I think that's where I looked into it. After I heard that, I went and looked into it, just piddling around, watching TV, and I'm on my phone. And don't underestimate that. Joe Espada is from Puerto Rico. You know, he knows all the clubs and the teams and managers and coaches over there. So I'm sure he had some marching orders for DeCenzo to play in Puerto Rico and all that. I don't have his numbers, but all indications were that, you know, he really stepped it up in a very, very competitive high-level league.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I'm interested to see what that looks like. I'm not sure if I love that that particular prediction for this spring training. Do you have any things that you're, like, looking forward to that you're like, hey, I think that this is how spring training ends up?
Well, outside of the, you know, the obvious, which we just talked about with him in left field, I think certainly, you know, how you're playing – you know, how the rotation goes at second base alone, you know, just second base alone. I'm not really worried about first base with Christian Walker. I'm not really worried about third base. I'm not worried about catcher. I've always been a big fan of Yonner Diaz, even when, you know, he probably should have been playing a lot more.
And I don't think you're going to get any pushback.
Maldonado was getting all the love. I'm not worried about center field because as much as you'd like to have a better stick out there, you're going to be stealing a lot of outs, you know, with Jake Myers in center field. Pena a little bit. Because I want to see that consistency. I think it comes down to second base. And, of course, you know, we haven't even talked about the pitching. But yes, second base to me would be it.
Yeah, it seems like there's some pretty optimistic thinking when it comes to the pitching that fairly early into the season Joe Espada.
Lance McCullers could be late April. All right.
Joe Espada is giving us fairly rigid dates.
It's not the first time.
I know. But now we can at least, we have something we can hold on to. I don't know how tight you want to have a grasp on that, but we have something we can hold on to.
Biggie, didn't we have fairly rigid dates a couple of times last year?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Hell, we got that from Lance McCullers himself.
Yes, we did.
I remember last year at the Sports Awards, I asked him how he was. He was like, everything's looking good, man. Everything going great.
Yeah.
Didn't play the whole season.
Somebody said they're interested in Montero. Yeah, Rafael Montero will be interesting to see as well. I'm not holding out very much hope.
It's kind of it is what it is with that one.
It'd be great if he shows up though. Your bullpen is one of those things that you're trying to get a little bit of a grasp on, especially if you can find. I know Caleb Ort is supposed to be kind of that seventh inning guy, and I know he is also dealing with a little bit of something. So seeing if he can be healthy and grasp onto that role in a way that is confident and. That gives you confidence, rather, would be fun. And I think someone else from the 713 very much seems like their prediction is that Dubon will grasp hold of that second base position in a way that makes you feel good.
That seems to be the...
That seemed about right.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't played as an everyday player in a singular spot. And so maybe that level of consistency gives him the opportunity to really find a home, play at a high level, and maybe also like just get the stick going in a way that's really good. Look, man, this thing starts in earnest tomorrow. They got split squad games starting off everything. I think they will be playing, one of the squads will be playing versus the Nationals, and the other one will be facing off against the Mets. So excited to see these things get going, and Arrigetti already gets going on Sunday as well. So this weekend should be fun for baseball, and then Monday morning, you'll hear from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., Sean and Seth broadcasting live from West Palm Beach, giving you updates on all of those things and what they've seen out there and what they are seeing out there in West Palm Beach with the Stros. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into our question of the day, which is also baseball related. The Yankees finally dropped that really dumb rule that their players can't have beards. And with that being the case, what places are you still very old school in your thought about appearances? 713-572-4610. What is your old school appearance take? Let's get that next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Don't mind us. We're just here talking about that Four Nations face-off final that happened yesterday.
Still our daddy.
I'll let you say that.
Why you got to say that, man?
I don't know why he said it that way.
That ain't my daddy.
Well, I mean,
well, haven't beat him since 1996.
Yeah, Canada hockey been whooping up, especially in these.
It hurts me too, Figgy.
We'll talk more about that later, particularly in West Poppin. Yeah. But just to let you know, that is front of mind for us talking about some hockey. Bring back the arrows. All right, let's get to our question of the day. 713-572-4610 is the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer. Text line. Already going up with answers to this. If you did not hear, the Yankees finally getting rid of that George Steinbrenner rule that says that their players cannot have beards. They're allowing the facial hair to bloom for those players And it came down with a statement. I imagine Big George got to be just rolling around in his grave.
Oh, big
y'all got beat out for a free agent. You're getting rid of the facial hair. What are y'all doing to my Yankees?
You lost to the Dodgers.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right.
You lost to the Dodgers. Right. Yeah, you ain't spending no money. Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm. Juan Soto going to the Mets.
Says, getting beat by the Mets.
Because he says he has a better chance to win.
To the Mets. Like, nobody goes from the Yankees to the Mets.
And all of that. But, yeah, that's came down, and that got me thinking, what are your old school perspectives on appearance? What is your old school appearance
take? Clothes,
all of that,
all that stuff. Now there's a lot coming in of what I shared with the boys during toss this morning with Payne and Pendergast. You know, pull up your damn pants. Another guy said belts are made for a reason. I don't think I will ever get over that, because I don't even see, like, it slows you down. I mean, which is, I know, stupid, but like, your pants are falling down. Like, your pants are falling down, bro. You got one hand.
Yeah, you sound so old school.
I know. I do.
Like they don't know their pants is falling down.
I know, but what is it? How is that stylish?
Hey man, your pants falling down.
I feel like telling them that. So how is that stylish? But here's the one. Here's the one that I'm still old school on.
Okay.
Even more so. But I'm not alone in that. You know,
we'll be the judge of that.
I think about that. Remember that guy on American Idol? I think he passed away too, but he came in with the song, looking like a fool with your pants on the ground.
Oh, yeah. Pants on the ground?
Pants on the ground.
I forgot about that.
This is an old school one of mine that I still, if you're going to church, at least wear a dress shirt and dress pants.
Hey, man.
Preferably a jacket, but at least a dress shirt and dress
pants. The Lord said, come as you are, my boy.
That's how people justify it. That's how people
this
justify
is how I am.
Hey, yeah.
How you know that? Did God tell you that?
Yeah, maybe. I talk a lot with God. But like
God said he want to see you wear a blazer.
But my God.
Yes.
My God.
At least a dress shirt and dress pants, preferably a jacket. I see people going to church in flip flops.
See, that this was one of mine. This
really kind of, yeah.
No, not that. Like I dress, you know, I come as I am.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I cannot do in church, man. Like if I wear a hat, I gotta take my hat off in church. Because I go to a church where they literally let you wear your hat
because
if
you want respect
to.
It.
I would take the hat off. I wear jeans. I wear a t-shirt. And
put some dress
sneakers.
Pants on.
No,
put a button down.
Y'all are big on to take the hat off in moments in places.
Oh,
of,
yeah.
No, I would. I only do it in church.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I go in the building or something like that, I'm normal, but I feel weird wearing a hat in church, man. I grew up in church, they always tell you to take your hat off.
Not in your friend's house. Like you know, if we go to your house warming and I'm wearing a hat, I'm going to wear a hat.
No, I don't care about that.
How about like an older, like a dinner, like someone's, you know, house, like an Easter or something. You take your hat off when you go into their house? I still do.
I'm not frequently wearing a hat.
Yeah, I still do.
Yeah,
and usually if I'm wearing a hat,
too.
I'm wearing it for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm probably going to keep that hat on.
So what about you? Old school appearance isms.
Oh, my old school appearance take is one that makes me feel like an old man. And I still feel very young as fry. What's up?
Pull your pants up?
No, it's not that one. It's not that one. But it's I feel like it might actually be worse in a way, mm-hmm. which is, hey man, get yourself a respectable haircut, please.
Oh.
Like I'm so big on get yourself, like, why you got your hair like that right now? Like, especially we got all these dudes with like the mullets and stuff, and I'm like, come on, dog. Come on, man. You look kind of ridiculous right now. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, taper that thing up. Like, just tighten it up.
It doesn't take that much.
Like, there's a decent amount of leeway that you could have with, you know, originality while also still looking kind of presentable, mm-hmm. dog. Like, just come on. Here, I almost want to like have an extra 20 in my pocket. You might need to be more nowadays, mm-hmm. but just hand somebody. Like, I'm in that place where in my head, I just want to walk up to somebody, hand somebody a 20 and be like, go get yourself a haircut right now. At least a line up, clean this up for you, please.
Yeah. Another one I can't stand. I can't stand when I hear this, but when I hear some younger kids just cursing in front of older people.
Oh, yeah,
that one's tough.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't like that one so much.
And mind you, I was a kid. I was probably doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm older, I'm just like, man, not like, why are you sitting there using, like, you ain't even got to cuss. Like, it's not like saying damn.
Yeah,
or
it wasn't
something
necessary.
Like, yeah, yeah, they just like F-bombing it up. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, why are you cussing around these grown people? Like,
here's another one for me. Bare feet on an airplane.
Oh, was that an Oprah? That's just courtesy. Come on, man.
That's nasty.
Relatively recently, because I don't be flying that much, but I remember there was a situation where I saw, thankfully not in my seat, but I saw someone take their bare feet and then put it on the handrest in front of them, where you can see the toes on.
I just got the heebie-jeebies, as they say. That's awful. And then you turn and you see someone's foot right there next to where you put your elbow on the text board. Says, and I don't mind this one. I'm just sharing the information. I get this one, but they say flat bill hats with the stickers still on them. Like you have right now. Yeah. Like you have right now.
No, that's
really don't mind that.
Hey,
one.
That's kind of law at this point, man.
Not always.
Like they might as well just leave it on there. And mm-hmm. it depends what type of hat it mm-hmm. is too.
Just build that right into my hat, man. Leave me alone.
Stitch it there.
Somebody said from the 346, white tube socks is for old people. If you're older than 8 or younger or 80, you should not even own white tube socks. Hate them. I feel like you
when they weren't awful, they were actually pretty good.
Yeah, Seth, wear them.
He's a white tube sock guy.
These young kids are wearing the long socks again. Like they're bringing it back. They don't wear them quite how Seth wears them. Yeah. They don't wear them with Hokas usually.
Yeah,
but
what about socks with sandals or slides?
I don't even know if that's old. Slides, I'm good.
Because I used to do it at one point. Once I moved down here and it was just hot as hell,
mm-hmm.
I'm just like, man, I'm letting the toes out, man. Yeah, I ain't wearing no socks with mm-hmm. no flip flops or slides, but that's kind of a thing.
Okay, so we've got a few suit and tie ones that come through. Someone said they hate J's or other sneakers with suits.
I don't mind that.
Some people can pull it off.
We've gotten to a good place with certain Now, here's the tough thing.
Yeah.
Certain sneakers, I feel like, unless it's like a really high quality sneaker.
It got to be the ones.
It's got to be like a really good casual sneaker, whether mm-hmm. it's like some particular Jordans.
Yeah.
Maybe some ones. Or like a clean white sneaker or something like that.
Yeah, like I think a lot of people rock the Alexander McQueens. They kind of look like the Adidas.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people rock that with a suit. That don't look bad, but I was never a suit and sneakers guy.
Here's
like
one
that.
More.
I tried it, but I wasn't.
But the other suit and mm-hmm. sneakers one, or the suit one, is just you go to an interview, you wear a suit.
Like church.
Yeah.
Show some respect.
Yeah, no, I'm down with that.
Show some respect. Here's one that it's not like they all bother me because I think about 20% of men can absolutely pull it off. But mustaches. There's only about 20% of men that can pull off a mustache.
We've gotten real nasty with some of these mustaches.
There's some guys that take that centipede off your lip, man.
We've gotten some real weird looking mustaches nowadays, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Some other things that have come through. Somebody said, to start, I'm a seasoned guy. I appreciate that. It's a great way of saying that. Also, you're mature, right? Like, that's another way you can say. Mm-hmm. They said they're anti what they call those giant hoop earrings inserted in the earlobes. They mean the gauges.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
They don't like those ear gauges.
Those are, I don't get them. I don't understand.
They're not for you to get.
Those holes are going to be there forever.
That's right. And they're decided with it. Speaking of being there forever, tattoos. Seth mentioned that earlier. Somebody said face tattoos mm-hmm. as well. I like to think that I'm pretty good on that, but it gets like when you have a lot of tattoos, I'm like, oh, okay.
That's right, it. Dog. That's it.
Shout out to you.
When I actually like some, I think some tattoos look really cool.
Certainly.
But
of course.
Once they start creeping out of the collar of your shirt and up your neck and into your face, that's when I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, my thing is if you're doing all that, you might as well go all in.
Mm-hmm.
Like I respect you a little more if you just looking like a tattoo artist,
mm-hmm.
like just tattoos everywhere.
Some other ones that came in. Somebody said sandals don't. Men should not wear sandals. So you must hate like the Birkenstock trend and what the stuff that we got going on.
Yeah, but you go to the beach, you know, some flip flops or some sandals. Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, so you just men can't have their toes out, huh?
You can. No, I'm saying you should. You could be able to,
but just only at the beach.
No, I mean certain environments. I think it's fine. Yeah. Yeah, 50-year-old men that dress like Ricky Fowler on the golf course. Yes, that's a good one.
That's fair.
That's a really good one.
We've been going one way, but I kind of appreciate you going the other way. Like, hey, man. Hey, Pops. What are you doing here?
You're not Ricky Fowler. That beer gut should have been a dead giveaway.
How y'all, I mean, this could be a Reggie question, but how you feel about the do-rags in public now?
I don't mind them.
I'm good with it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's got to be clean. You got to have wrapped it like really, it's got to be really presentable. It's got to be a clean, flat, you know, tie or like, you know, roll it up or something.
The do-rags became like the men bonnet for me. So like I don't like to see women in bonnets out in public. To me, I feel like that's a little bit tacky and it's nasty out here. You laying that bonnet on the pillow and all that stuff. So I don't really rock with the bonnets in public. I see a lot of women in restaurants with bonnets on and stuff. I don't really like that. I'm kind of getting there with the do-rags a little bit.
And
I don't mind them. I really don't.
I'll finish here from the 713. When people show up to the rodeo with brand new boots with skinny jeans like Reggie. Well, first and foremost, the boots may be brand new, but the jeans will not be skinny. All right?
Reggie is not a skinny jean guy.
I'm not. I like a slim straight, and I understand that when you get to these boots, you probably need to go full straight.
Yeah,
you know, have that nice size to it. Now, I
like Reggie.
I'm enough to be dangerous. I know enough to be dangerous. I'm still working on those boots, by the way. My Connect has not hit me back.
Nice.
So I might need to go, and I might need to go on my own. I was hoping that I could get through a Connect, but you know, doesn't always work out that way. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Salute to the Yankees and Yankees players in particular.
Gerrit Cole's he's probably got a full beard right now.
Yeah, Reggie could play for the Yankees right now.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're willing to pay me, sure. Yeah. I mean, I'll be bad, but when does that ever stop?
If they paid you to cut everything off and go bare.
Ooh, that's face, crazy, because I told myself I wouldn't go anything lower than a goatee.
You look nasty.
There is 100% a number, and it's fairly low.
That look nasty.
It is fairly low. All right. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where, hey, man, the scouting combine is coming up, except are its days in Indianapolis numbered? We'll talk about that more next.